Welcome to episode 30 of the Animal Addicts podcast. On today's episode, we learn about an awesome, very large breed of dog and discuss some more of our favorites, which I'm willing to bet are some of your favorites as well. Please let us know what your favorites are for this week's category. You can always utilize our social media or comment on the Podbean site. And finally, we learn about an awesome animal that I didn't even know existed. So without further ado, let's dive into episode 30 of the Animal Addicts podcast. Hello and welcome to the 30th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And today we're going to talk about a whole new diversity. Also, that's what I'm going to say. I'm changing my mind mid-choice. Today we're going to talk about a whole new delegation animals.
What's a delegation?
It's like a delegation during the Olympics. Like the delegation from the U.S. The representatives from the U.S. Anyway.
Does anyone actually watch the Olympics?
Okay, rude. I used to when I had time.
Like, I watched the World Cup, but I don't really watch much of the Olympics.
No, because the Olympics is gymnastics, and that's the fucking bomb. Gymnastics, swimming, meh. Equestrian, kind of. Like, there's some other cool things, but, like, Summer Olympics, gymnastics all the way. Mm-hmm. Winter Olympics, figure skating. Sometimes snowboarding. Anyway. Moving. And then because, of course, of Cool Runnings, bobsledding occasionally. That ties into things. Anywho's. But before we get into all of our animals, our delegation of diverse animals. Are they diverse today? Actually, we don't have that many. What have you been up to, Casey, since last I saw you?
I've been frying my brains more with studying because I have a systematics project I'm doing.
Gross.
It's interesting what I learn. It's just a lot of work because past week I've been reading a bunch of scientific articles using different analysis methods and different character data to assess the relationship of different groups of bees.
That sounds fascinating.
It's interesting. It's just there's a lot to read and then compiling it all together.
Yep.
So I learned a lot about bees.
Yay,
bees. And conflicting hypotheses on how they're related.
Of course.
And how some interesting implications from some studies on how certain things evolve, like eusociality in bees and other things.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Great. That's fun. Systematics involving bees.
Yes.
Is that it? Just killing your brain on systematics involving bees?
Primarily, yes.
All right, cool. That's fun.
I like bees.
Well,
The bees knees.
I got to have my consultation, so I'm going to be having surgery probably in April on my sinuses, though. I'm not getting an organ ripped out. I just have to.
Got an organ ripped out.
Yeah, but but apparently it's like a five-day recovery, and then I'm going to be miserable for like 3 months. So that's fun, which means I won't be able to sing during that time, which will suck. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yay, good times. Also, though, fun fact, few fun facts. One, the dangers of show choir. Because when I had my consultation, the doctor was like, oh, you definitely broke your nose at some point. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know when. Because, I don't know if I've told you this before, but in show choir one day, we're in rehearsal, and I noticed my shoe was untied, so I bent down to tie it real fast, and I stood back up, and I must have been a little farther forward than I usually would be at that point mm-hmm. in the choreo, because then my partner, like, opened his arms and smacked me in the nose. And I continued on, of course, as a professional does. And we ended with, like, a piggyback sort of pose at the end. And I'm out there, and I can feel the blood starting to just, like, come flying out. So I'm sitting there, like, and, like, as soon as we ended, I'm like, ah! Like, jumped off and, like, went over and grabbed towels. And then I come to find out, which I should have realized at the time, years later I find out, because at some point it's bleeding, it's endlessly bleeding. But then, like, a kind of, like, jelly-like substance comes out. And I remember thinking at the time, like, is that part of my brain?
Oh my god.
And then I was like, well, I'm still functioning, so probably not. It's probably fine. And then I go about my day, and then I find out years later when a friend, not exactly show choir, but accidentally got smacked in the face by her then boyfriend, and they went to the hospital because she thought she might have broken it. And they said something about like, oh yeah, this is okay, as long as this like gelatin-like substance doesn't come out. Because I guess it's like some protective area around your brain or something, or skull or something. So I'm like, oh, cool. But I'm still functioning, so it's fine. Also, so just the dangers of show choir. The fact that like an injury like that happened in show choir, of course it did. And then also that, back to remember when we said that comment about men, like grown men crying is like not a big deal because they're individual men who have very high pain tolerances, for sure. But men as a whole, freaking wimps when it comes to pain. So I'm like, that means nothing to me because you cry at nothing. I remember when I had kidney stones and they asked you like your pain level, like from 0 to 1 to 10. And I'm like, okay, so if 10 is like I'm on fire and a tiger is eating my not on fire leg at the same time while I'm alive, that's my 10. I'm going to give it like 7.5. And then I had a cousin who like broke a bone or something, which I have done before. Although I haven't broken like a leg, but he also did not break a leg. It was like a hand or a finger or something. He was like 10. I'm like, fucking wimp. Anyway, but just putting out, at the time, 15-year-old me, this is why dancers are the best. Did I cry when my nose got broken? No, I did not. Did I suck up and go about my day? Yes, I did. Should I have gone to the emergency room? Probably. Yeah. However, I did not whine about it. You just fucking move on. Anyway, so yeah, what?
It reminds me back when I had my gallbladder and was having gallstones.
Yeah.
Except I didn't know I had gallstones at the time. Because I remember back, I had this one instance where I felt that pain before, and we went to the emergency room, and eventually the pain just passed, and they said it was probably just some gas, and I did have In-N-Out that night.
Oh, my God.
And then for a couple of years, I made the joke. I was like, yeah, I had to spend like $200 because I had gas. When it could have quite possibly been gallstones.
Yeah.
And so when it happened years later, and it was happening frequently,
yeah,
I just ignored it because I didn't want to like go to the emergency room again because it would just go away. Then eventually one night it was so bad, I was like, no, this is not going away. Yeah. I called Teladoc and eventually made an appointment to go get an ultrasound to see if there's something wrong with me. It turns out I had gallstones.
Yep.
And now it's gone. I don't have a gallbladder.
Now it's gone. So you can't get them anymore. Yeah, but anyway, so good times with pain and issues.
Anatomy.
Anatomy, fun times.
And horrible genetics.
How our body betrays us. Sometimes we do to ourselves, though. Yeah. That, and then also mainly animal-related news, is that my cat is lucky to be alive because we're now up to at least over $100 worth of cable. She has chewed all the way through. Also has not amazingly electrocuted herself. So recording the podcast... So when I did the intro, I used a different mic that plugs directly into my computer, everyone.
Ah.
And I made the mistake of going to the bathroom while she was in my room while that was still plugged in. I came back 2 minutes later, chewed all the way through for a $70 microphone situation. Yeah. And she ate through my Apple cord, and she ate a thing of headphones. So now the new rule is she's no longer allowed in my room, period, until I can... Basically, I think people with rabbits do it. You put, like, tubing, kind of like air tubing, around all your cords until I can...
It's rabbit-proofing.
...do that with all the fucking cables in my room.
Yeah.
She's not allowed in my room at all because I cannot risk walking away for 2 minutes and then she destroys. So we're well over $100 worth of equipment she has already destroyed. So she's lucky to be alive. Anyway, the fun of animals.
Yes.
And I have to go buy all that tubing and then figure out how to get it on some of the cords. So, so fun. I have that money to throw away. It's fine. I don't understand because she's not quite 2 yet, but she's not a puppy. Mm-hmm. I've never had a cat. They'll chew on things, right?
Yeah.
But they've never eaten through things. And it only took 2
I feel
minutes.
Like your cat has pica.
I don't know. I haven't seen her eat other things, though. Maybe she does. Maybe that's why she's fat. No, because she gets slipped food. For sure. And the thing is, like, when I left the room, she was at the bottom of the bed, not even looking at it. And then I came back in, and where her proximity was in the bed, I was already like, you better not have. And then I looked at it, and it was severed. Just like... Also, maybe you will get electrocuted one day, and maybe you'll fucking learn. But anyway, she is not indeed a puppy.
No.
But you know what are puppies at one point in their lives?
Doggies.
Doggies. And we haven't talked about a doggy in a while. Last time we talked about the Abyssinian, we went on a kitty. On a kitty learning experience. Today we're going to go back to doggies. And we had to choose a doggy. And we tend to choose big dogs, apparently, according to what we're going with. But this is a really cool dog. And our dog, this time, even his puppies, they're big. And they get big, very big. Very big? They get big very fast. We have chosen the Great Pyrenees. This is a giant white fluff ball.
Yes.
Essentially. That kind of looks... I think these and Anatolians both kind of look like polar bears.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. And also I can confuse them sometimes, because sometimes Anatolians kind of look like Pyrenees. Also, I think I mentioned the hilariousness of the one customer who had this little tiny, like, brown-looking long-haired chihuahua-ish type mm-hmm. dog, and she did the DNA test, and it came back part Pyrenees.
Hmm.
And this dog's, like, this big. And I'm like, where in this brown, tiny dog is there a Great Pyrenees?
Well, somewhere there's a wolf.
That's true. That's true. But anyway, so, the Great Pyrenees... are awesome, awesome doggies. Of course, we're going back to the AKC, and I will be reading some of this verbatim because
just it's
the
a treat.
Way, the way, literally, it's a treat. Casey, a treat?
Yes.
It is a treat, though. The way they write some things, I just... It's
I would love an interview with the head of the AKC.
Seriously, like, these are put together so... They're hilarious. Okay, so first of all, we're going to start with the history of the Great Pyrenees. So I'm just, again, going to read it because the way they've done this, you cannot top it. All right, the Great Pyrenees, they were bred centuries ago to work with peasant shepherds and herding dogs in the Pyrenees Mountains, the natural border between France and Spain. The dog's job was to watch the flock and deter predators, whether wolves, bears, or livestock rustlers. What are those? Are those people?
I'm assuming.
Livestock rustler. Anyway. The breed's innate patience came in handy when sitting atop a freezing cold mountain for days on end with nothing to do but look at sheep. Their courage when defending the flock was legendary. In the 17th century, the Great Pyrenees was adopted as the royal dog of France in the court of King Louis XIV after they proved useful as guardians of the chateau. Of course, so French. Anyway, so moving on into more specifics of the Great Pyrenees, they are listed as, their temperament is listed as smart, patient, and calm, which is a cool dog, actually, honestly.
Is smart a temperament?
I mean, sort not. I mean, sort of. I feel like being stupid could play into your temperament at times. Well, and smart definitely is going to affect your behavior, because mm-hmm. they usually get in trouble. Anyway, so they rank 66th, on the popularity scale, out of 197 dogs. They reach a height of 27 to 32 inches for the males and 25 to 29 inches for the females. And they weigh 100 pounds and up for the males, 85 pounds and up for the females. Easily 100 pounds, I would say, with these dogs. They're massive, although they are a lot of fur. And their life expectancy, is 10 to 12 years. They are part of the working group, obviously, because they're mm-hmm. herders. Anywho's. So, we just have to read them exactly because I love it. Frequently described as majestic, Great Pyrenees are big, immensely strong mountain dogs, standing as high as 32 inches at the shoulder and often tipping the scales at more than 100 pounds. These steadfast guardians usually exhibit a zen-like calm, but they can quickly spring into action and move with grace and speed to meet a threat. The lush, weatherproof coat is all white, or white with markings of beautiful shades of gray, tan, reddish brown, or badger. I've never heard
What's
of
badger?
Badger as a color before. Anyway, pretty great. As far as grooming, they're actually saying that they don't require a lot of grooming. Their coat is dirt and tangle resistant. I don't feel like I believe this, but maybe.
Did they write any biology on that explains how?
No. Why would they do that? It's the AKC. That's not a thing they do. It's just, you know, it has to have this kind of a nose and have this. That's what the AKC does. Anyway,
well, they're all on purebred and that crap.
They have a double coat with a long outer coat and a soft undercoat. Okay. This is my favorite sentence, I think, in this entire description of this dog. They will shed this undercoat with great enthusiasm, in quotations, leading to a snowstorm, one owner says.
How does one shed with enthusiasm?
I don't know how you shed with enthusiasm. You just shed a lot. It's not enthusiastic. But okay. Anyway, They shed in spring after whelping in honor of certain druid festivals. No, they don't. This is bullshit.
They're druids.
And after you enter them in a show. No, this is all bullshit. Ignore that last thing. This is this woman being crazy and silly. Anyway, a thorough brushing with a pin or slicker brush at least once a week will help, though, reduce the shedding and overall maintenance of the coat. And their nails, as pretty much all dogs, should be trimmed regularly, although hopefully they do grind them down themselves. And their teeth, also with all dogs, should be brushed regularly. As far as exercise goes, they're not super highly active. Again, they're pretty much just guarding sheep, so they just sit around until they have to do something. And that's what they do. So you don't have to exercise them a lot, just moderate exercise for these guys. Training, this is another thing that's hilarious. Okay, so they were bred to be independent thinkers. Obviously, they're up there on a mountain, like, for days on end, watching their flock. So they're working without
guidance.
Sound like
a philosopher dog.
Yeah, maybe. There's like, what is life? Look at him in like the like flowers. Anyway. Okay. So although they are intelligent, standard obedience training will be met with great indifference. They don't see the point of all that sitting, healing, and staying. They will let their boredom show by performing any task you deem important with extremely slow responses.
What is this lady smoking?
It's not this is the same lady anymore. Okay. This is something different.
What the heck?
It's a different person saying all these things. Nonetheless, of course, early socialization and puppy training classes are recommended. That's pretty much every dog ever, so, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But these guys are kind of just going to ignore you, apparently, and do their own thing. But at least they're not going to, like, hopefully eat the couch. Hopefully.
Yeah. They'll cover it in snow.
Yes. With their enthusiastic shit. Oh, my gosh, I'd die. Anyway, so, obviously, AKC is going on about how AKC breeders do their best to blah, 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 all these health issues, but...
Breeding siblings together.
They're going to be prone to all the things that big dogs are, to all the hip dysplasias, hip issues. And they're also one of the ones who can be affected by bloat, which we talked about with the Leonberger, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, again, look out for that kind of thing if you want to get a Pyrenees. They're saying the recommended health tests are going to be the hip evaluations and the patella evaluations. And then, obviously, just note the signs of bloat if you get a Pyrenees. But they're really awesome dogs. They look like polar bears.
Yeah.
They're real cool. And I think everyone I've ever met, they are chill. Like, yeah. Chill is the best way to describe that dog. So anyway, they're giant fluff balls. Love them. And you should love them too. But obviously this is a dog that you need. Actually in the nutritionist said they didn't eat a lot for a dog their size. But, you know, you got to maintain.
Of course not. They're
dog.
Just lounging.
You got to maintain that dog. And again, it's only going to last you 10 to 12 years. I highly doubt it's making it 12. Yeah. Like, that's a giant dog.
Yeah, my aunt, all she ever has, really, I think, is Great Danes.
Oh, no, that's like 8.
Yeah.
Those are rough. I couldn't do that. Anyway, but yes, so they are... Anyway, of course, I'll link the AKC article. I don't know if I've been linking the AKCs. I should. I just tell you to go, and I expect you to do it on your own. I'll try to link the AKC article.
You're encouraging people to know how to research.
Yeah, go research your own stuff. But this is the AKC, which has the breed standards, obviously. Not that you have to go by that, but they're going to have the most information about them. Anyway, there's a cute one. Oh, there's one on the beach.
Looks like all calendar pictures.
They do. Anyway.
All except right. That last one. I don't like shows.
You've made your position clear on that. Anyway, but this one's descriptions. I died this time. Shedding enthusiastically and with nothing to do all day but look at sheep. It cracks me up. Anyway, that is the Great Pyrenees. That is, how many of them have been in the working group now? I feel like a lot of them have been in the working group that we talked about. Anyway, yeah. Cool doggies. So we'll talk about another doggy at some other point, but... We should move on into our favorites this week.
Yes.
And it was my choice. Yes. This also, well, for me, it very much segues. But I chose our favorite live-action animal-based movie. So animals are the stars, not like there's a live dog in the movie. So it's not going to be, what's his name, Milo? Is that his name? In The Mask? He's little Jack Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it can't be a supporting dog. It has to be the stories about the animals and live action, not just a Disney. And not this also. I didn't put that in the rules, but luckily you didn't choose that. Not this shitty live action that's fucking CGI. That's
you're talking about like
Disney's doing now. So dumb. Anyway, But yes, so Casey, you go first, even though yours does not segue.
No, it does not.
If the Pyrenees from France were in India, maybe they would guard against this.
Yeah, so I don't watch a whole lot of movies as often anymore, especially live action ones with animals.
Yes, this is based off childhood, obviously.
Yes.
I have not watched mine in a long time either.
Yeah, and mine was Two Brothers.
Which I totally confused for something else.
Yeah, she thought it was a Disney movie about bears.
I was confused. Brother Bear, that was what that one's called. Anyway, continue.
Is it? I thought it was Big Brother. No, that's a reality show.
It's a reality show. Brother Bear, I think, is the one.
Yeah,
anyway, I remember. Continue.
Yes, so basically, it's a movie where there's these little tiger cubs. Mm-hmm. They start in the jungle in their little family.
Home, yeah.
So cute. And then there's people messing around in the forest, as people do.
Yep,
and then
course.
They get separated. Mm-hmm. And then one of the cubs ends up living with this child. And they both end up living their separate lives for each other while. Then they end up encountering each other later on in a year when they're all adults and recognize each other. And then they run off and go back to the wild.
Back to the jungles.
Yes.
Yay, Two Brothers. Are there any life lessons in there? Anything important aside from don't fuck
Don't them? Have a tiger.
Also, yeah, and then they showed me the trailer because I haven't actually seen that one. And it was like, oh, the little kid's like, he's not dangerous. I'm like, this is a good thing to teach children that tigers aren't dangerous. That makes me think of the, oh my God, am I really blanking on his name right now? I love him. It's a comedian, and I love him so much. Brian something. Anyway, I'm going to have to look it up and get back to you. But he does this bit. First of all, he's just hilarious. But Brian Regan, that's it. He does this bit about, like, TV shows where they're showing, like, bears being friends with kids. And he's like, this is not a good thing to teach children. And I forget how it leads up, but basically he's like, oh, there's like, the grizzly bear where the bear is, and, like, you see Timmy's hat sticking out or something, and like someone goes, where's Timmy? Well, I don't know. He was running around. He's scampering off that way. He was scampering as he like picks bones out of his teeth. Anyway, cracks me up. Check out Brian Regan if you don't know him. He's great. Anywho, but my favorite movie that is live action animal based
is a great contender.
It is, I mean, it's the best one. It is Homeward Bound, starring, of course, Shadow Chance and Sassy. And we literally had three cars at one point, and because I was a child, I named them after that. Also, it made sense, though, because one of them was a truck. It was an older truck, and it was a chance every time you took it out that it might die on you. And another one was a station wagon, legit station wagon, that when I was a little kid, I was very entertained by the shadow from the rearview mirror, and I'd be like, Shadow's back! Of course, I was stupid and a child, so I didn't understand what that was. I was like, oh my gosh, Shadow's back! And it was a whole thing. And then the other one just by default got Sassy, which was definitely a green minivan. But yes, there we go. Anywho, but yes, Homeward Bound is probably I just think it's the best. Like, what other live-action animal movie is better than Homeward Bound? There are, I mean, there's like Benji's and Lassie's and stuff, I guess, but it's...
I never really watched Lassie.
I watched Lassie. I used to also, back because I'm older than you, when you would rent VHS and you have to get it from like the library or like...
You act like I've never used a VHS.
I know, but you don't know things like I do. And we get them from like the library or like some podunk little video rental place, like not even Blockbuster because we live in the boonies. And I would constantly rent Lassie, and why I would do this to myself, I don't know. Old Yeller. Watch that over.
Oh
and
my
over
gosh.
And Lassie, at least Lassie didn't end terribly.
I watched this one on TikTok, and there's this lady, she has a dog, what's his name? I think Winston. And they watch movies together all the time. And one time, they watched Old Yeller.
Oh, no.
She stopped it at the end before. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, so yeah. But I used to watch those. And then there's some Benji ones that are good, too. Anyway. But Homeward Bound is the absolute best. It is voiced by Michael J. Fox as Chance. And mostly, he's the main character in it. And then Sassy is Sally Fields, I think. And I don't know the voice of Shadow. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Shadow is an older German, not German Shepherd,
no,
an
he's
old
not.
Retriever. And Chance is basically a Staffordshire Terrier pity mix. And then Sassy is... She's not Siamese. What is she?
I thought she was.
She's not Siamese. She's Anyway, she's a long-haired, like, fancier-looking cat. I forget what kind she is. But there's a whole... And then Shadow and Sassy... Not Shadow. Chance and Sassy have a lot of, you know, drama between them and everything. But anyway, their family goes on vacation and they freak out, and then they journey across. Oh no, I think they're brought to stay with the other the friend, and that's how they journey across. So the family goes on vacation. They drop the three pets off at this friend's house, a ways away, and the dogs travel through. And cat.
She is a Himalayan cat.
That makes sense. Himalayans actually are really pretty. Mm-hmm. I might want to have a Himalayan someday. Anyway, and then they travel across the U.S., not the entire U.S., but like across the wilds of parts of the U.S. to get back home. And they have adventures with cougars and with porcupines. And Chance has a bad run-in with porcupines. And spoiler alert. So they get to the point where they're close to the end and they get into this like train tracky thing and there's this like mud slidey thing. Not really slide, but it's like a hole with a bunch of mud and they fall into it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if Sassy does, but the two dogs fall into it. And then Chance gets out and then Shadow keeps trying, but he's an old, he's an old golden retriever and he's having trouble getting out. And, okay, I have seen this movie a billion times. I know how it ends. Spoilers again. I know it ends okay. Because it's heartbreaking at the end when they start coming back to the family. And, like, I think Sassy, I don't remember who comes back first, Sassy or Chance. And all the kids are, because there's also three kids. And, like, the little girl, Sassy, is, like, her main pet. And I think it's a little boy is Chance is his main. And then the oldest boy, Shadow, is his main pet. So then they start coming back. And it's, like, the one pet comes back. And the kid's like, yay. And they're all looking like... at where the one ran from for the next. I'm like, yay, they're back. It must be Sassy first because then Chance stays with Shadow for a while. And then the oldest kid is just looking and just looking and just looking and Shadow's not coming. And the scene preceding that is Shadow trying to get out of this mud thing. And he's telling Chance, he's like, just go. It's like somebody in front of me says exactly. He's like, just go without me type situation. And my friend and I were like flipping through channels when, I don't know, more than a decade passed when we watched this movie, and we both start crying. Shadow is like, I can't, I'm just too old, I can't get up, whatever he says, and we're both just like, oh my god, it's like, we know it ends okay. We know he gets out, and he meets up with the family, but we're still crying anyway. It's so emotional. Anyway, best movie. We should rewatch that. We should watch that someday. Anyway, Homeward Bound.
Yep.
Highly recommended. And then I think they made a sequel, which is probably terrible. So they usually are.
Yeah, Homeward Bound 2, Lost in... San Francisco.
Yeah.
I almost said New York.
Lost in New York. Well, so how are you getting lost in San... I mean, it's busy, but, like, there's no woodlands in San Francisco.
I don't know. I can't navigate a city to save my life.
There are dogs and cats, I guess, but still. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll have to watch the sequel, but I'm sure it's terrible. But the original, solid, solid movie.
I wonder if they use the same pets.
I'm sure not. Maybe the cat. The cat.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway. But they are, I mean, some of them, because if you ever go to Universal Studios, they have the animal actors.
Yeah.
And some of the dogs, at least the dogs, not with the cats, but that they have there, you will recognize them from commercials, from movies and stuff. So, I mean, some of them work for a while.
When I was a little baby, I actually have got my picture taken with the original Beethoven.
Yeah, I'm really mad about that. Also, how many Beethovens did they go through for that movie?
I know. How many movies are there? Like
a lot. Oh, remember, like, Beethoven's is second, the one where they have the girl and then they have the puppies, and it's the really mean lady.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
And they go to, like, the county fair thing or whatever, but anyway, those are good movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, to be fair, I didn't even think of Beethoven when I was thinking of live-action animal movies. I think Homeward Bound's still better, though.
Yeah.
But Beethoven's probably a quick second, close second. But anywho, that we're not here to talk about dogs, even though we've talked about a lot of dogs this episode.
Yes, we did.
And tigers. Which at least are closer to the area of the world that we're supposed to be in. This is our final...
Kind of.
They are. Asia is closer.
Relatively, but not necessarily close.
Anyway. This is our final week in Oceania.
Yes.
Which is sad because it's a really good, crazily diverse area.
Mm. We'll be back in a few months.
Oh, for your wild card month, you're coming back?
No, like, you've put, we have, like, Pacific and the islands, which is basically Oceania.
Oh, okay, well, we have a little bit more emotion. This section of Oceania, at least. Anyway. But our animal of the week, Casey, let's move on to them.
Okay.
And our animal of the week is...
the spear-toothed shark.
Yay! I like them. They're cool. Yep. Tell us about them, Casey.
Yes. I'm going to butcher a lot of names today.
That's fine.
Yes. So they come from the order Carcharhiniformes,
Okay.
Those are the ground sharks. They're the largest.
Ground sharks. Yes. I love it. Okay.
It's the largest order of sharks.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And the family is Carcharhinidae. Mm-hmm. Those are the requiem sharks.
Requiem sharks?
Yes. That's it includes many of the reef sharks like black tips and tiger sharks.
Okay.
And the species name is Glyphis glyphis.
Glyphis glyphis? That's yes. Awesome.
Yep. They are found in northern Australia and Papua New Guinea.
Okay.
And a unique aspect about these guys is they are found primarily in rivers.
Which is why I was like, oh, we gotta talk about this one because it's cool.
Yes. So the lifespan of these guys is unknown. There's a lot of unknown about this species. Because with the size, the largest individual ever caught was 1.75 meters long. It was a female.
Okay.
And they're not sure what their maximum size is, but they do have some sets of jaws that suggest that they can get to be about 2 meters or maybe 3 meters.
Okay. Yep. Well, 3 meters would be kind of big.
Yes.
I'm getting better at recognizing metric.
Good job.
But still not great. I mean, basically just go by a yard is close to a meter.
Yeah. Once you get into bigger sizes, though, it breaks down.
Yeah.
So evidence suggests that they are primarily a piscivorous species.
Mm-hmm, they eat the fishes.
Yes, they eat other fishes. And they are a viviparous species.
Is that they give birth to the live young?
Yes.
Yay, I'm learning things.
Yep. And when they're born, the offspring are about 59 centimeters long.
Okay. How much is that in, like, feet? Like, 2?
Yeah, not about...
Even, not even 2 feet.
It's pretty close, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Roughly.
It's pretty big for a little offspring. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I'm assuming that's right. The tail and everything.
Yeah. Though. And as I mentioned earlier, it is unique among species sharks that it lives in rivers. It can actually tolerate a large range of salinities because they will live in freshwater rivers and... That's pretty much just exclusively freshwater inland. But they can tolerate brackish water and marine water as they get closer to the coast.
So just in case you weren't terrified of nothings in Australia and that surrounding area, now there are sharks in the rivers as well as alligators.
Crocodiles.
Crocodiles, sorry, wrong place. America is alligators.
One other place.
I don't remember.
China.
China, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they will occasionally go out into the ocean a bit. And the genus of this species from Glyphis is the only taxa of sharks that lives primarily in freshwater.
Okay.
And there's only 4 species total.
That's cool. Are yes. they all in that general area or do no. they live other places in the world? Okay.
No. There's one in Southeast Asia that is the only one that is exclusively freshwater.
Whoa, that's yes. cool. Mm-hmm.
And these guys
Are you telling me a ball of shark isn't actually a shark?
No, it has... Hard bones.
Okay.
Whereas sharks are made of cartilage.
Yeah.
And that's something I want to research more is like, why didn't sharks evolve to live in freshwater?
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. I don't see why they couldn't.
Yep. Who knows? I'll look into it later.
Okay.
Yep. So these guys have very small eyes, so they probably have very poor eyesight. Mm-hmm. And they mostly live in very turbid water.
What does that mean?
It means it's dirty. And hard to see.
Of course.
Well, not necessarily dirty as in gross, but there's a lot of detritus in the waters. Yeah. Things get turned up a lot, so you can't see. Mm-hmm. So they rely heavily on their other senses in order to navigate and search for prey. And this I found interesting because some say that this species swims smarter, not harder.
Okay.
Because studies that have tracked this species... have shown that they will travel up and downstream according to in response to the tide cycle.
Okay.
Yeah, so like the tide comes in, they go upstream.
Fighting it. Okay. Yeah. That's smart. That is smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And specimens that have had their stomach contents analyzed typically show they have eaten bottom-dwelling fish.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so suggests that this species live in lower water levels and will hunt prey along the bottoms of rivers. And also it's probably not a very active species, so it's probably laying around a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said earlier, this has been researched a lot. So some information is based off of other species in the same genus. And based off of that, this species is probably not particularly fecund, meaning good at reproduction.
Okay.
Very fertile.
right.
Typically, they'll have small litters and will only reproduce once every 1 to 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're currently listed as endangered by the IUCN Red List. And it's estimated there's no more than 2,500 mature individuals.
Oh, that's bad.
Yep. And population is currently in decline. The major threats are very similar to other sharks, including being caught as bycatch by fisheries, mm-hmm. and habitat degradation is decreasing amount of already restricted habitat.
So do you think that's like the water's getting polluted, or?
So pollution is probably an issue, but there's also going to be economic development, just so people like living near the water, so they're going to be destroying trees and other plant other habitat surrounding the area, which helps to stabilize rivers and keep them all together so it's going to degrade.
Oh, okay.
Yep, kind of like with, if you've seen the video where they're talking about wolves having a big impact on Yellowstone, it basically comes down to that sort of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yes.
Well, I thought they were super cool because they're a river shark, mm-hmm. and that's not something that's very typical.
Nope.
They're not necessarily the cutest looking things ever in the world.
I think they're cute.
Cool. I mean, they're still cute, but they're not like, they're no cassowary. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Anyway. But they are pretty cool. But Casey,
yes.
has nothing to do with the river shark.
Okay.
But back on our dogs, we've been very doggy focused this episode. What is the Greyhound's favorite 80s song?
Oh, I don't know.
Whip it. When a problem comes along, you must whip it.
Come on, man.
Gotta love it. Which is a great song. I mean, I don't blame them. It's a fantastic song. So obviously, if they're going to be at karaoke, they're going to be singing the Don't Stop Retrieving and the Whip It. Or as I like to call it, Whip It Good.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So much better than the last pun. But I believe that brings us to the challenge, Casey.
Yes.
And this time, you're going to give me fake money?
Yes.
Let's see how much fake
money.
Well,
we'll see how much you get.
How much did you get? You had like 3,800, I think. Or
yes.
3,200. I have to do the math. Oh, yeah, I need this.
I can't even buy a make-believe house in California.
Are you kidding? You can't buy a jack shit.
I can't.
You can't even buy, honey, it's only $3,000. You can't even buy a car. You can buy some really old.
Why would I buy a car?
Because we're in California, you need a car
well,
to get around.
In terms of needing it, yes.
Yes.
But I do know people that like have a car because they love cars and I don't get it.
Well, that's what they're passionate about. We're passionate about animals and other things, and they're passionate about cars.
It's weird.
Well, that's their own thing. A lot of people think we're very weird.
But I'm a good kind of weird.
Well, but that's your choice, and we're not going to judge people because they're into cars.
Can we, though?
I mean, you can. It's just dicky.
I don't care.
Okay, all right. What are my charismatic? Okay.
Yes. So the categories are charismatic critters.
No.
Metazoans and movies.
You made this really hard.
Metazoans just means animals.
Yeah, I know, but you're still gonna make this so scientific.
Stranger than fiction.
Okay.
What is it then?
Okay.
You've learned this.
you better know it.
Yep.
I hope some of it is. What I already said, the life of whatever the live birth ones are. Okay, well, I mean, I think I'm going to fail all of these, so we may as well just kick
yes.
off. All right, let's get that timer ready.
I'm going to set 10 minutes,
because
I will probably stutter reading these
Okay,
questions.
I'll give you 10 minutes from now on, too, because we never got through all of them.
Yeah.
I'm terrified. I'm probably just going to do 100 in all the categories to get a feeling for it. All right, are we
Alrighty.
Ready? Let's go. Charismatic critters for 100.
Approximately, what is the gestation period of an elephant?
18 months?
It's 22 months.
Okay, well then I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. let's do the metazoans in movies for 100.
What genus of spider is named after a beloved Disney big cat?
What genus of spider after a Disney beloved big cat? It's not Raja, I don't think. What are the Simba, Mufasa? It's a big cat that you said.
Yes.
The Shere Khan. I don't know of any of these. Casey, the rule is you can't go if you don't get the 100 one. I'm not going to be able to move on to anything.
I didn't apply that rule
okay,
to this.
Okay, great, because I'm not going to fail. A Disney big cat.
You can skip it.
Fine, I'm skipping it. Do I get to move on to the 200, though?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll just keep in that 200.
Okay, what kind of dolphin is Winter from Dolphin Tale?
I've never seen that.
Just take a guess.
A bottlenose dolphin.
Yes.
Great. Metazoans in movies for 300.
What species is Dexter in The Night at the Museum?
Oh, shit. Capuchin?
Yes, he is.
Yay.
Well, she.
That's fine. Same, 400.
What subspecies of tiger are in Two Brothers?
I'm gonna guess Bengal.
That is incorrect.
Sumatran?
No, they're Indo-Chinese.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. 500.
What is the species of moth in Silence in the Lambs?
Casey. I don't even know species of moths.
It's a scientific name. Just.
I give up.
Okay.
Pass. Stranger Than Fiction, 100.
What deep creature does the male fuse to the female to reproduce?
What feature?
What deep sea creature does the male fuse to the female to reproduce?
Fuse to them? I don't remember us talking about this.
We did.
Oh wait, is it the anglerfish?
It is.
Yay! The same category, 200.
Okay. What is the deep sea monster version of roly-polies?
Giant isopod?
Yes, it is.
Yay! 300, same category.
What insects use chemicals to trick ants into taking care of them?
Oh, shit. It's the wasp? No, it's... It was an ant. I don't know what. I don't remember. I'll pass.
Okay.
Same category, sorry.
All right.
400.
What is the largest species of animal used in calamari?
Don't know their different species.
The biggest.
An octopus. I don't know. A giant squid.
No. No.
I don't know.
Okay.
Pass it. Stranger Than Fiction.
What serpent-like shark is also the deepest living species of shark?
What serpent-like shark? Serpent-like shark.
Shaped like a serpent.
I don't remember a shark that's shaped like a serpent. I remember a shark that's shaped like a serpent. Oh, my God. Shark shaped like a serpent that's the deepest. That's not like an angelfish. An angel shark isn't like that.
No.
I don't fucking know. I'm passing that.
Okay.
I don't know. What is it then? 100.
What kind of fish actually is an electric eel?
Oh, you said this. And I don't remember. I don't know. Pass. It's not an eel. I know that much. 200.
What fruit-loving bird is named after the garbage collectors of the bird world?
It'd be something vulture. Mm-hmm. What? But a vulture is the garbage. What? A fruit-loving bird is a vulture. I don't know. A vulture. Nope, don't know. Pass it. Moving on. 300.
The horseshoe crab isn't a crab, so what is its closest relative?
Oh, fuck, I forgot. I did know this at one point. Mm-hmm. No, it's not that either. It's, I don't know. Pass, I don't remember. 400.
Despite no money. Despite a resemblance to anteaters and hedgehogs, echidnas actually belong to what ancient group of mammals?
I hate you. I actually know what the group is called. I know they don't belong to that. Don't remember what they're called. Passing that. Wow, what is it that is not going well? 500.
What South American mammals resemble small canids found throughout the U.S.?
What small mammals represent...
Resemble small canids from throughout the U.S.
Small canids? What mammal? It has to be a fox or something, but it's not the fox. Is it? Oh, is it a... Oh, the... That's not South America. What the fuck?
Keep in mind, this is a 500 question. These ones, I don't expect you to get.
Great, cool, passing. Let's try things you've learned this. Well, obviously, I haven't.
What is the name of an animal that helps form the environment?
An environmental engineer.
Yes.
Yay! 200. Why didn't I start with this category? Obviously, I have a
What
chance.
Is the form of locomotion in which the animal walks on the bottom of its feet?
Oh, no. Don't remember. To pass. 300.
What term describes an animal that eats termites and ants?
Oh, shit. It's not insectivore. It's like... Nope, pass. 400.
What kind of symbiotic relationship is it when one benefits and the other is unaffected?
I did learn this, but I don't remember. It's not parasitic. It's not... Nope, don't remember. 500, I'm not going to get either. So what's 500?
Despite looking like anteaters, pangolins are actually most closely related to what order of mammals?
Already forgot. I'm going to say armadillo, but it's probably wrong.
That's wrong.
Okay, great. So back to the charismatic critters that I'm failing at. 200. Yes.
What fuzzy critter is the only marine mammal without blubber?
Fuzzy critter is the only marine mammal without blubber. Do polar bears have blubber? I'm going to say polar bear.
That is incorrect.
Damn. Was it an otter?
Yes.
That was my first guess. I should have gone my first guess. 300. Charismatic critters.
What group of mammals is matriarchal due in part to females having a pseudopenis?
Hyena.
Yes.
Yay.
Thank goodness. The polar bear is not truly white. What is the actual color of its skin and coat?
I don't remember, but I'm going to say yellow.
That is incorrect.
What is it?
The skin is black. The fur is colorless.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. 500. Going to fail it.
Okay. What primitive primate uses markings on their tail to communicate?
Primitive primate uses markings on their tail to communicate. Does primitive mean it's an old world?
It is in the old world.
Keep
in mind, I said primate. I did not say monkey.
We have so much time left that we're not going to use.
I know.
Because I don't know. Let's be real. If this is Jeopardy rules, you have like 20 seconds. I do not know.
Okay.
I got no money. 600. We're going to have to go over these answers, but okay. So I have 600, 800, 1 grand, 110, 1. I got $1,200.
Yes.
$1,200 fake dollars. That's not even rent for a one bedroom apartment for 1 month.
But let's go over what you missed.
Yes.
Okay, so elephants, we went over.
So the first one I miss. Oh, we miss a lot of things. So actually, there's a lot of stuff.
I'm going based on
just list. do the questions and then get the answers.
Yeah, we went over what fuzzy critter. The primitive primate.
Yeah.
Is a ring-tailed lemur.
Really, I didn't know that.
Yep.
That they use.
Yep. If you notice, they always have their tails.
They do have them up a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, that's to communicate with others in the troop.
Okay.
Yes. And what genus of spider is named after a beloved Disney big cat? Bagheera.
I didn't think Bagheera. Also, I never would have gotten that because I had no idea what spider's name that. Yes. So I would have just been like Simba.
When we get back to Central America, I'm going to cover that species.
Okay.
One of those species. Because they're really cool. And the subspecies tiger was an Indo-Chinese tiger. The species of moth in Silence of the Lambs is Acherontia styx.
Oh, Jesus. Come on, man.
Yes. Fun fact. They got it wrong.
Oh, okay.
It was actually Atropos was the species.
Oh. You mean in Silence of the Lambs they say what the moth is?
They say, yeah, when they're like going over that. Like they cut open the pupa to show like the skull. It is a death mask moth, but there's three species that fall under that genus.
Okay.
And what they name it is not the correct name for what they were showing.
Okay.
And then, what insect uses chemicals to trick ants in taking care of it? That was the Alcon butterfly.
Oh, Jesus, of course, duh, yeah.
Yep. And by the way, calamari is actually squid.
Yeah, I went with octopus originally. I'm not sure why, but then I didn't remember my big squid.
And actually, it's the colossal squid.
Oh.
Yep.
How big are they?
They're heavier than the giant squid, but I can't remember the weight off the top of my head, but one cool thing about them is, like, you know how squid have their little suction cups on their tentacles? Theirs have hooks on them.
Ew. I just don't like calamari, so I just did not care. Continuing on.
Yes. And what serpent-like shark is also deepest living shark species? It is the frilled shark.
Would not have gotten that.
Yeah. And an electric eel is a species of knife fish.
That's right. Dang it.
And the fruit-loving bird is a palm nut vulture.
Okay, I just totally misunderstood that question then. I didn't realize that we were going for a type of vulture. I thought it was a bird that would like
well, remember,
a vulture in its name, but it wasn't a vulture, so it's very
well, confused. Technically, it's not a true vulture.
God, okay.
All right. The horseshoe crab is closest relatives are arachnids.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I knew we went over that.
Yep.
Just don't remember it.
And Echidnas belong to a group of mammals called monotremes.
Nope, wouldn't have gotten it.
This one, I would have been very surprised. But you're right, I was referencing foxes.
Oh, okay.
The name is stupid. It's South American foxes.
Oh, okay.
Form of locomotion where they walk flat on their feet is called plantigrade.
Yep, nope, would never have gotten that.
Yep. Term that describes animals that eat termites and ants is myrmecophagus.
I was never going to get that, Casey. Like, maybe if you say it, I might. Like oh,
I've
is that
gone
that?
Over it a few times.
But I would never be able to pop that off, dude. Come on.
Yep. And what kind of symbiotic relationship, when one benefits and the other is unaffected, is commensalism.
Ah, yeah, okay.
And pangolins are actually most closely related to the carnivorans.
Nope, never would have gotten that.
Yep.
Never would have gotten that. Okay. I have a measly $1,200. I will change my rules in the future to allow you to go on, because obviously I would have only had two categories I would have played in, and then I would have died very quickly.
Yep.
But yeah, so okay. Well, your Jeopardy thing was harder than mine.
I'm a science major. Of course it will be scientific.
That's mean. You have to make it easier. Like, sexual dimorphism should have been one of the answers. At least I can say that one. Sexual dimorphism and, like, polyandrous or some shit. Anyway.
Yes.
All right, well, that was disappointing. I have, like, no money. So he has to give me another one of these so we can catch up. And then we're going to alternate and see who can get reasonable amounts of big money. I'm not going to play it nice then. When I do these pop culture things, I'm going to be mean. I'm going to go deep Disney. I'm going to go deep musical. I'm going to go deep movies. It's not going to be nice. Don't give me this scientific shit. Now, things you've learned, I'll give you an excuse, because at least we've talked about it more than once, and, like, maybe I'd know it, but no, we're getting all of it. All right, well, that brings us to the end of Oceania.
Yes, it does.
Next month is really a weird month. It's kind of like the Indian Ocean and Antarctica. It's kind of the
sea
mishmash.
Creatures.
Kind of the mishmash month, without being the wild card month, though. And, of course, we will have a new poll up for our listeners' choice at the beginning of whatever month is next, March. So if you want to have a say in what our choice is for that third animal, join Patreon at Tier 2 and you can say that. But we will move on into Antarctica and the Indian Ocean next month. We'll say bye to Oceania for now. Well, yep. Part of Oceania for now. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And we will catch you on the next episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. Woo!